So tonight is the last night of the mission, and maybe beforehand I could have, should have explained a bit more about what a mission is. Mission conferences normally take place a lot of times during penitential seasons, or at least to try to prepare the people for something. And so, obviously, in this time, I thought it was good to try to help prepare you for the sacred triduum, the sacred 3 days, by giving you conferences. I asked the other priests to give conferences as a means to try to help you then to elicit, you know, proper contrition, to try to help you to prepare then for the ceremonies that are coming up. And so with missions, with the mission itself, you can gain a plenary indulgence by attending the majority of the conferences with that. I'll give you a blessing tonight. So those of you that maybe did have the opportunity to attend these 3 nights, you can gain a plenary indulgence for the attendance of them. As I say, it is a way for us to try to prepare then for the graces that God will give to us, that God tries to give to us during the holy time, the holy seasons. And so that is why then trying to give that opportunity to you to these last three days. Granted, sometimes because of our schedules and different things, it may be more difficult to be able to attend them, especially tonight if you've kind of gone through the whole circuit of attending the reposition, then Station the Cross, then we have the conference, Compline. So I know it is a busy time period, but I think also, though, the generosity that we can show to Almighty God is definitely will not be, you know, outweighed by what God can give to us. So as I say, afterward, I will give you a blessing so that you can gain a plenary indulgence if you had the opportunity to attend the conferences. And then after this, we'll try to sing Compline. My other priests are already gone for their mission, so if I have a soul that would like to volunteer to be cantor tonight, I will help them through it if need be. I would like to be able to try to sing Compline all 3 of the nights, because the more that you're familiar with it, I think the more it can be a help to you. So as I say, though, the other priests have already gone out on their missions for Holy Week, for the Sacred Triduum. So if I have any volunteers, God will reward you for your generosity, as I mentioned. And then afterward, after that, then I'll hear confessions. And the confessions, however long they take, is fine with me. So the more souls that go to confession, the more souls are prepared for the season. So don't be scared off by that. That's why we put the 3 dots after. Any time that you see in the bulletin 3 dots after the confessional time, that means there is no ending to it. At least you determine the ending for it. I'm fine. I have no problem sitting in the confessional for hours. So I'm used to post-falls. Post-falls, there were about 1,500 to 1,600 people. And so our confessions, trust me, during Holy Week, I heard confessions for almost 5 hours straight. So have no fear. I'm not that old yet, so I think I can still hear confessions. So be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In the bulletin, you may have seen that this conference is referred to as the Christian life. Granted, with the Christian life, it takes many aspects that make up our Christian life itself. But one of the things that I wanted to try to maybe help explain to you is this idea of a balance between the contemplative life and the active life. A balance that all of us need, regardless of what our vocation in life is. As I mentioned with that quote that comes from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," all of us are called to perfection. All of us are meant to be with God for all eternity. That is our beatitude. That is our happiness. And so in order to reach that, God has given us different paths in life in order to reach that, whether it is the religious life, the married life, the single state, whatever it may be. God has drawn out that path for us in order to reach our end. You know, we can maybe look at it in terms of, it is like an interstate that leads into a city. Maybe if you think of Denver, well, you think of maybe a lot of traffic. But in any case, there's many lanes that lead into that city. So there's different routes that you can take to go to the inner city of Denver. But they all lead to that same path, that same city. The spiritual life is the same way for us. All of us have a different path, but we're all supposed to lead to one end, which is Almighty God. And that is the purpose of our life. That is why we were created. And so that is why it's so important for us to understand that. And as I say, it doesn't matter what vocation God has called us in. And even in the religious life, there are those that are active, there's those that are contemplative, and then there's a balance in between. I'm being out in Post Falls. We had the Carmelites. They were a cloistered convent in Spokane, Washington. It was only 30 minutes from us. So we used to say Mass for them. They were completely cloistered. They never went out unless they had a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment or something of that nature. That was the only time they ever left their convent. Even to the point that we would give them Holy Communion in front of a grill. So when my brother, the other Father MacDonald, first went out there to say a first Mass, he tried to explain to me this idea of giving them Holy Communion with this grill. He said, well, it's like a little window in this whole grill. And you just, their mouths come there and you give them Holy Communion. And I'm like, looking and said, are you sure, Steve? He said, seriously. It's like if you look back at the baptistry, we have that grill that is there. Just imagine there being a little opening big enough just for a face to fit through. And that is how you gave them Holy Communion. And when you talk to them, this is also, when you talk to them, they were behind a turn. And so there was this whole like wall. And then they had like a little turn thing that you could put things in. It slides, it turns around. It goes to them, and then they want to give you something back. They'll put a note in there. They'll slide it back around. And you just hear this voice coming behind this, like, Deo gratias, Father. And it's like looking around. It's like, where'd that come from? And so that's the cloistered life. Well, okay, maybe that's a bad impression that you have of the cloistered life, but at least you understand that they never leave. They're cloistered. They're in a convent. And then when you have, you know, active, those that are out. I mean, that is the Society of St. Pius X. We're more active. Maybe too active to some, but we are active. We travel around a lot. But that is where you can see the balance even in the religious life that, yes, there's some that are more contemplative, there are some that are active, but there still must be that balance for us. And that is what I think Father Burfitt, on the first Sunday that I was here, when I was passing through on your pilgrimage, that he had mentioned about the priory life. They said, even though, yes, now you have priests that are here, you still must respect the spiritual life that the priests have. And that is why then when I came, I put for you our schedule. It was not to make you feel sorry for us of all the work we have. It was just to give you an idea of the life of a priest, the times that we must pray, and that we won't be by the phone answering it for you. But then also then the times that, yes, there is common prayer that the faithful could attend, you know, prime in the morning or compline at night, to give you this understanding, this balance that we must have also. Yes, we have an active life. We travel around. We give the sacraments to people. But there still must be that spiritual life that we have too. And so we must find that balance. If a priest does not, he is doing a disjustice to his faithful. Because we cannot give what we don't have. And so if a priest does not have a spiritual life, good luck as a parish. You will never receive anything. If anything, you'll just receive empty words from the pulpit. And so that is why it's important for the priest, especially, yes, to have that proper balance. But then also for the faithful, for you too. And granted, I know you have active lives. I mean, you work, you take care of your families, you have all of these different things that are pulling on you. But there still must be a spiritual life that is there. There must be that idea of contemplating the things of God. And that is why, you know, God will bless you for your generosity in sacrificing some of your time. in order to come to these conferences or come to the different things that we try to offer. Because that is how you will sanctify your soul, is through these means that God has given to us. And so the vocation that God has chosen for us is not by accident. It is divine providence that God has chosen us in a different state in life. And so we must understand that. And by understanding it, well, then we will practice it to the best of our ability. And that is what God is calling us to. And so the balance that we find between the contemplative life and the active life is based then on our love for God. Again, when you think about that, all our actions should be based on this love of God. And that is what we refer to as true charity. Charity is the love of God. That is first and foremost, and then obviously also according to that, it is the love of our neighbor, but it is for the love of God again. So both of them stem from the fact that we must truly love God. And so I will tell you that also the life that you must live must be based on this love of God. It must be. Or we're fooling ourselves. We're fooling ourselves into thinking that there's other things in life, which is not the case. And so truly, when we think about the virtue of religion, I talk to my students about that, this idea of the virtue of religion, it is this duty that we have to give the honor and the glory to God that is due to Him because He is our Redeemer, because He is our Creator. And so all of us must try to find that balance in our life in order to give that virtue of religion. In order for us then to give what is due to God. And so when we think about the contemplative life, it is those that are pursuing a life of virtue. We contemplate the things of God. That is truly what we think about with the term of theology. It is the study of God. And so by studying God, then we think, well, the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. All of them have as their object God. That is why they are the highest virtues. And so when the contemplative life, when we think about that as members of the mystical body of Christ, we are made up to then go toward this goal of knowing God and loving God. I mean, even when we think about the First Holy Communion Catechism, and our children respond, you know, we must know God, we must love God, and we must serve God. Yes, that is a simple answer for a child. But as adults, have we ever thought about that? Have we ever considered that in our own lives? Have we lived that life to know God, to love God, and to serve God? There's an axiom, a scholastic axiom that we studied, that in order to love something, you must know it. You cannot love something if you do not know it, you know, to truly love it. I mean, that is why spouses, they get to know each other in order to marry, in order to truly love each other. But they must know each other in order to love each other. And it is the same thing for Almighty God. If we want to truly love God, we must know God. And if we don't know God, that means we failed in trying to understand what God has done for us. I mean, granted, it is not something that we have to go out and study the Summa Theologica of St. Thomas Aquinas. That is not for everyone. Trust me, as seminarians, even you find yourself studying that and you wonder, it's like, wow, I don't think I'll ever be able to understand this. And there's over 3,000 questions. It's like, try memorizing that. They didn't ask us to memorize it, don't worry. But still, it is not something that everyone has to then study that. No. But there is an obligation for us to try to understand and to try to know as much as we can. It is sad to think that after we leave school, you know, say we end after high school, our schooling, that that's it. We don't need to study anymore. We're done. That's not the case. And it's good for us to take catechisms, to take different books to study, to read, to think about. And that is one of the ways on Sundays that we can give more glory to God. I mean, granted, here you have a sung Mass, which is nice to be able to give that glory to God. But then what happens after, say, 10:45? Are we done? Are we done with giving the day to God? I mean, it is sad if we think that way. I mean, granted, we don't have the opportunity right now for Vespers in the evening or different things in order to try to give more to God. But that doesn't mean at home that you can't do things as a family, say, to read a book as a family, to explain things to your children, or as adults, you know, take the time to read a catechism, or, you know, your adult children, or children that are, you know, older that can understand, to talk about different questions. I mean, that's a great way to spend part of your Sunday. Granted, obviously, spend time with your family too. In our busy world, that's maybe some of the one day that we may have time to spend with our family. But hopefully our families isn't split after Mass and then we never see them for the rest of the day. We're missing out on some things. And as I say, we're missing out on our obligation to know God, to love God, and to serve God. In the contemplative life, it is not something that when we think about the contemplative life, it's like, oh, that's Mary, St. Mary Magdalene. You know, she went out to a desert and she lived by herself for so many years. Okay, that's the contemplative life. So I don't have to worry about that. God has called me to have a family, blah, you know, different things. And so therefore, I don't have to worry about that. Well, no, that's not exactly what the contemplative life is like. That is why I say that all of us, every single one of us, has to have a balance of the contemplative life and the active life. Contemplative life means to contemplate, to think on the things of God. Whether it is done through meditation, whether it is done through reading a book, whatever it may be, God is calling all of us to that. So don't take the extremes. Don't look at St. Mary Magdalene and say, okay, she's a contemplative, so that's it. Well, no. All of us must be, in some form or another, contemplative, to contemplate the things of God. All of us must be. Because if not, if we don't think of the things of God, what will happen to our soul? What will happen to our spiritual life? Our spiritual life will wilt. It will dry up if we don't think of the things of God. You know, some of you may have problems praying. You may come to a priest and ask, okay, my prayers just seem fruitless. Nothing to it. You know, they're dry and everything. Maybe the priest will say, so, what are you reading for spiritual reading? It's like, what? It's like, well, what's your spiritual reading? Do you count, like, the, you know, Catholic Family News as spiritual reading? It's like, well, no. How about the Regina Caeli? It's like, no, sorry. That doesn't count either. Why just look at the pictures, too? It's like, that is not spiritual reading. There are many, many spiritual books that are out there. I mean, just look at our bookstore. Don't go down and start just borrowing books from the bookstore. It's not a library. Those you go down and you buy, just as a warning. I know it's open, and you think, like, wow, you can just enter here at any time. I realize that, but buy the books first. If you need suggestions, I'll be happy to give you suggestions. I'll be happy to lend you books. In order for us to read more, to study more, to think of the things of God, if you haven't read a spiritual book in a long time, now's the time. I know we already made our Lenten resolutions. Lent's almost over, but you can make an Easter resolution of doing something now after Easter to read something that you can gain something from. And even, you know, I think unfortunately a lot of times we think of like meditation or contemplation as something that one is only for religious or two, that's just really hard. Trust me, I've been doing it for like 16 years now. It is still hard. I realize that. You know, we still have our struggles. We still daydream. We still, you know, all of us will go through that. But I encourage you to even take 5 minutes, 5 minutes of your day, and maybe just think about something that you read, you know, especially if you're doing spiritual reading. Think about your spiritual reading. Just take 5 minutes, whether it's at the beginning of your day, the end of your day, or maybe you have some time at the middle of your day, you know, you have a longer lunch or something, that you could do that. Take that time. Think of these things. God will reward you for that effort. As I say, even if it is just 5 minutes. I mean, don't be discouraged because you think, oh, meditation must be like a half. Well, on a retreat, we did like half-hour meditations. Well, don't be discouraged because of that. Start small. Build. Do 5 minutes for a month. And then the next month, try 10 minutes. I mean, try to build your spiritual life. And by doing so, God will reward those efforts. I mean, granted, it is not a cure-all for if our prayers are dry or we're in desolation, but it is definitely a means to help with that. It is definitely a means for us to help us then, because God sees the effort that we're making. We're doing spiritual reading. We're trying to meditate a bit. And as I say, I realize that we're all very busy. But we must try to make some time for God, even if it was 5 minutes spiritual reading and 5 minutes meditation. Or start off with just the spiritual reading. Or start off just with the spiritual reading on Sundays as a way to try to give more glory to God. I mean, I'm not saying that, okay, now you make your resolution that every night you read a half hour for spiritual reading. I'm not saying that. Try on Sundays reading 5-10 minutes. You know, I think that's important for us to try to understand that, yes, it is something that all of us are called to, this contemplative life. In a balance, yes. Because we can go to the opposite extremes. You know, we can have, and I'm not picking on the mothers or anything, but you can have a mother of a large family that she decides is really quiet and very peaceful, that she makes a half-hour meditation every morning while her kids are screaming. But she's able to lock herself in a room and she can't really even hear them. So she just disregards her children are out there killing each other because she's taking care of her spiritual life. Okay, that's the extreme. That's an extreme that you cannot do. Because all of us must look at our duty of state first and foremost. The duty of state is the best prayer you can give to God. But then from there, yes, we can find certain times. And as I say, that's why I said 5 minutes. And all of us can find 5 minutes. It's amazing to see what we can find time for. I mean, it's just amazing. How many people like quote movies to you or different things or TV? It's like, oh. It's like, you know, if you want to destroy your spiritual life, have your TV and have your movies if you want to destroy a spiritual life. And then if you come to me and say that your prayers are dry, and if I were to find out you watch TV and movies, it's like I can help you have your spiritual life not be so dry. Unplug the stupid thing. I mean, that I don't understand, but that people can waste 3 hours sitting in front of some stupid television or movie. And then they say, Father, I just can't really find time for a spiritual reading. It's like, oh, well, let me help you with your schedule. I can fix this for you. We have to put priorities on things. So granted, when we think about our lives, we think about the external things, we think about the active things that we do, and we sometimes just completely phase out the contemplative things that we must try to do. It is that our faith teaches us that, you know, our perfection is, it lies in the union that we have with God. That is where our perfection truly lies. It lies in that. But how can we have a union with God if we don't think on God, if we don't read about God, and we don't study about God? It is not going to miraculously happen for us. It is something that we have to put forth that effort to. And so therefore, we must try to concentrate on this goal. Concentrating on it means that we must contemplate God. To contemplate the things of God. And yes, we think about Mary and Martha, the two sisters of Lazarus. It was very clear what God said in sacred scripture. Our Lord had said, Mary has chosen the better part. Did that totally disregard what Martha was doing? No. But Martha, don't forget, she was trying to prepare a meal and she said, you know, Mary's just sitting there praying and she's not helping me. And it wasn't meant to be that our Lord, you know, chastises her, but he says, Mary has chosen the better part. But as I say, you know, don't think of that as the extreme then. No, we have to be a balance of Mary and Martha. We have to be. If we want our spiritual life to flourish. And so we can say that in the contemplative life, we seek the truth, and the truth is God. To contemplate then the truths of God. Happy is the man who takes refuge in him, Psalm 33:9. Taking refuge in God. And so our contemplative life, it must be inflamed with the love of God. It is the fearful man that lacks the courage to truly love God. And we can also say, one that is intemperate, he will find spiritual things distasteful. Why? Because he gives into the flesh. He gives into those desires. And so with that, we have one of the Beatitudes that say, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. So that is a result and a reward for the life of the contemplative, the one who contemplates God, that they will see God. So since it is not something that is formed overnight, what are maybe the means that we can gain in order to try to help us in the contemplative life? As I mentioned to you, study and reading sacred scripture, reading spiritual reading, studying a catechism. These will be means that will help us then to think of the things of God. Meditations, retreats. The retreats are so important to us. Again, if we can't find the time for a retreat, it is a shame. We're missing out on so much. We're missing out on so much that God is willing to give to us. God speaks in silence. And so when we devote those 5 days, say, God will reward you for that. So I do encourage you. I mean, you know, granted, I'm working on trying to maybe have retreats in this area for us. Because I want to take care of your spiritual lives. And that is why we do the Days of Recollection. That is why we do these missions. That is why trying to bring the retreats to you. And I understand sometimes trying to get a plane ticket, trying to go to another place, it can be hard. It's not impossible. But then at that point, if I bring them to you, then what excuse will you have? So that's why we're trying to do the Days of Recollection also. It's one day, but still. The turnouts were great. The generosity that you showed with the turnouts were fantastic. You know, 44 women, 43 men. Father Rutledge was like 44, so we'll just count him. So 44 and 44. I mean, 88 on that, you know, the 2 days. I mean, it's great. And as I promised you, that we'll have a marriage recollection too for married couples. And I encourage husband and wife to come. So I don't have this someone coming to me later and say, so Father, what'd you really say? It's like, yeah, that's probably what it would have to be. What I really say, as opposed to what someone heard. Well, Father said this about you. So I encourage both of you to come, husband and wife. That'll be just great, to seeing the looks you give each other. That'll be my reward. I can just watch the looks you give each other. It's like, just kidding. But in any case, but the retreats, they are very important for us. Meditation is very important for us. St. Teresa of Avila had said, one that is faithful to meditation every day will never be in mortal sin. And why does she say that? Because she said, you can't. If you're contemplating the things of God every day of your life, you will not fall from the grace of God. And that is a tremendous thing when we think about it. But yet, how few of us then take advantage of that? How few of us take advantage of what she said? She said they cannot coexist in a soul. Mortal sin and contemplation or meditation. And how true that is. And truly, if we're thinking of the things of God, why would we then fall from the grace of God? And then prayer. Prayer is the raising of the mind to God. The mind and the heart to God. And the greatest form of prayer, we can say, is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Because it includes everything in it. The divine victim is offered up to God in union with our prayers and with our intentions. That is why the Mass is the greatest prayer that we have. And if we thought that way, how many more Masses we would try to attend? If we truly tried to live that life. And so then the active life. I think the active life is probably more common to us. It is more familiar to us. And even as priests, you may have heard the term, active priest or different things of that nature. It's not really a compliment. Because he's missing out on something I would say is more important. Some people claim that I'm an active priest. So I feel insulted by that. Maybe I just appear that I'm active. I hope. But it's not truly the case. We have to have that balance. But an active life, still with that, all our actions must direct themselves toward God. All of our actions must be directed toward that. And it makes sense for us, regardless of what we're doing. They still must go toward God. Again, if we think of that statement, why would we do anything that is contrary to the law of God? If we know that it must be directed toward God. So we can say the active life is the virtuous activity of man with his fellow men. So now all of a sudden we start seeing the contemplative life is the thinking of the things of God. The love of God above all things, one part of charity. The active life, then all of a sudden we see it's his activity with his fellow men. To love our neighbor for the love of God, the second part of charity. Do you see how then our spiritual life is based on this true love of God? Whether it is directed toward God and thinking of the things of God, or how our interaction with men is still for the glory of God. Both of them go toward God. So we can say with the active life, this is our moral virtues. The contemplative life dealt with the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. Now all of a sudden the moral virtues become important for us. The morality of a person. How important that is for us. And when we think about the world around us, how immoral the world is. It does not have morals. They do not practice morals. Or we can even go even further, amoral, completely without morals. And so from that, we have to understand, okay, then the moral virtues dominate our active life. And so with that, we think of the moral virtues, temperance, fortitude, justice, and then prudence. You know, temperance and fortitude are something that try to help regulate things for us. You know, if someone is temperate, that means, well, therefore, they don't exceed or be excessive in things. You know, food or drink. And then we think about fortitude. It is a strengthening, is a help to us. A help to us to perform the will of God. Justice is our dealings with other people. But then prudence. We can say prudence regulates or it directs, puts into action the other moral virtues. If a soul is prudent, that means for them that they are able to take these moral virtues and to put them in the proper practice. A soul that is prudent, it is a great help for us in the practice of our daily life. And so we can say in the contemplative life, these moral virtues are dispositions that assist in attaining the goal of contemplation because they remove a removal of the things which would impede that. So they're a help to us thinking of the things of God. But then in the active life, these moral virtues, they're developed for their own sakes and exercised for the good that comes from them, for man himself, and for their impact and relations to others. And so in the active life, what does that mean? It helps us in our dealings with other people. It helps us to direct then our actions toward other men, but ultimately still towards God. And so that is why we must see that both in the contemplative life and the active life, it is still finally ending toward God. And that is what we must try to put into practice in our lives. And so, yes, Mary was the contemplative because she considered God truly. And Martha, being more the active, she was concerned with the love of her neighbor, giving a meal, preparing things for people. But if we understand truly what charity is the balance of the two lives, Mary and Martha. Mary, because, yes, we must contemplate the things of God, we must love God above all things. But then Martha also, the love of our neighbor for the love of God. And so there must be that balance in our lives, Mary and Martha. And so we must consider this for our own lives. Because God has given us only one life to save. You know, it is up to us whether we save our soul or not. And so God has given us the means in order to reach that end. And I mentioned to you, the end is beatitude. It is our happiness for all eternity. God has given us everything in order to reach that end. And so we must pray, and to put into practice these two lives, a contemplative life and active life, because that makes up our spiritual life. Because our spiritual life is directed toward God. And so from that, we can follow the model of St. Ignatius of Loyola, all for the glory of God. If we live that motto every day of our life, we would get to heaven. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.